Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the 50th episode of the Plains Talkers podcast. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my half a century of spending time with me on episodes, well, not a century, but half a hundred episodes, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
You made me feel old for a second there.
Yes, shut up. Just because I'm 4 years from half a century.
I can't count that high.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Oh, yeah, so that happened. So welcome to the show, guys. We're going to get right into it. We got a full show tonight. And as we like to do during our untap phase, I will be untapping. And, dude, you're going to love this. Ready what I'm drinking tonight? Ice cold water. That's right.
See, I was hoping for something invisible. You disappointed me.
I'm out of beer, dude. Okay, leave me alone.
Fine.
I drank my last beer last night during my last show, or during the other show, and I meant to stop, and I forgot because Wendy had a day. So, but untap, upkeep, and draw, and what we'd like to do is the first thing we want to remind you guys is that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike, with locations in Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria. Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. We really encourage you to do that. You could even, I don't know if they have the pre-orders yet for Ikoria.
Probably do. I don't know about the online store, but I know they have an in-store.
Yeah, I know they do. I'm going to go get some. So also what we want to do is we like to, at the beginning of our show, say thank you to our Planeswalker level patrons. We now have two again. We have Ian and our newest patron, Walter. Walter actually fell into the show, I think, last week or the week before and just signed up to be a patron. So both of them support the show at the $5 a month level. I'm also going to take this time, because it is our first full month, to shout out our other patron, Randy, who's on our token tier, and thank him very much for his patronage as well. We really do appreciate you guys coming alongside the show. For this month's drawings, we actually did it off air. Ian, you won the Play My Deck event, so we'll need you to send us a deck list and we'll tear it apart again like we did last month and try to make it better. We'll play against each other. It'll be on a special stream. But Walter, is your first month, and you won our Play a Patron cast. So you will, we'll be getting in contact with you about setting up a time to play either Aramis or myself. And you'll play your own deck and play against us. And we do like an hour long stream right on our Twitch channel. And we're really excited to have you there. So, and also I want to remind you guys that this month we will be contacting you both and anyone else who comes in before the call at the $5 level. We'll be setting up our Skype conference call to talk about the direction of the show sometime this month. We do it every quarter where we'll basically sit down with our $5 patrons. It'll be me and Aramis on a Skype call with you, and you guys can give us any feedback you want off the air. We can have a long discussion. We can come up with new ideas for where the show should go, because at that level, you guys should be helping us out and giving us some information. All of this is part of our Planeswalker tier, and you can find out more about how you can help the show at patreon.com/planestalkers. But we got the business out of the way. Dude, it is our 50th show. Mm-hmm. How freaking exciting is that? That was so lame. That was the jivest thing I think I've done in 50 episodes.
You just said jive.
I did. Well, because it was pretty jive.
We're not in the 50s, though. It's episode 50.
Yeah.
We're not in the
50s. So, yeah, and Walter says, nice, sounds good. Oh, we've got a few people talking to us. Chris is in. He's the owner of Gamers Revolt. And he said that before the show, if you were watching on the Facebook, you should, and if you weren't, you should go find it. At the about 10-minute mark, we did a false start because my lovely, lovely, beautiful, and amazingly awesome wife, Wendy, is sitting next to me.
There you go. Keep going.
And she coughed as we started the show. And so, of course, I make a joke and look at her and ask her if she's done coughing and does she want a cough drop? To which she replied by throwing something at me. So, yeah, you're going to want to find that on the Facebook page. but we also have Walter in there. He's really excited. He says, nice, sounds good. He did email us. We'll read his email later in the show, because that's also a patron thing, is that you get prime email spots. So Yeah, we do everything for our patrons. They can pretty much replace Aramis at any time if they wish.
Oh, cool. See you. Bye.
I'm kidding. I couldn't do this show without you, mostly because you won't let me. But anyway, we are very excited. So we have a pretty full show tonight. We're going to be doing an episode 50 retrospective. You would think it would be like a clip show, and we'd have clips and things that we could refer to and be like, hey, Aramis, remember when we sat there and did our first episode and it sounded horrible because you had a mic that didn't work? And he'd be like, gee, well, I do. And then I'd play it. Yeah, we didn't do that. My wife was in the hospital this week, so I didn't get much done. But we'll talk about it. We're also going to go through the BNR. There was an announcement today that there's an announcement that week.
Yeah. Announcement of an announcement. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, I think they have to now because they're not going on the bi-monthly plan anymore. They're pretty much, you know, doing it as they see fit. So... I can't find the thumbtack to keep that on the screen. You son of a gun. Be live. I love you. Oh, there it is. I found it. And then we're going to go into combat. Jamie did email us this afternoon, our listener, Jamie. And usually we would just read it, but this is one of those times where he kind of presented an interesting question that could be good for combat. So since we didn't have anything else for combat, we're just going to use that for content. Thanks, Jamie. And then our main two section is going to be historic. We're going to talk about the new historic cards coming into Arena. They've sent out a list and stuff. But Aramis, like, what's new? What's the haps, man? You've got plans this weekend, do you not?
I do have
plans. Most likely?
I do have plans this weekend. I'm going to talk about that in a second. We'll get to that. I don't know about you, but I've been playing a lot of Arena over the last couple of weeks. And... To give you guys a perspective of our levels, I am I'm super stoked for myself personally because for the first time ever, I actually made it to Diamond, and I actually got within 4 wins of Mythic.
Congratulations!
I got to very high Platinum 2. I got 4 pips into Platinum 2, and it was playing Azorius Control, and
best 2 out of 3, obviously.
You best 2 out of 3. Tournament matches. I don't do best of 1. and that's not competitive Magic to me because it's just there's too much variance.
Well, it's funny because I've been playing too, and every once in a while, like if I go on a bad run with Azorius, because it happens.
Yeah.
Where I'll just be like, or I'm getting tired, I'll do a couple of BO1 with mono red. It's amazing how often I get paired with Azorius Control. People are playing that in best of 1, and I'm just like, are you insanely stupid? Mono red in game 1 against Azorius Control is pretty much favored like 87% of the time.
it's a very
And I don't think I've lost yet. I think one time I lost cuz I kept a 2-land hand and never saw a land.
Yeah, that was one of the matches that I won while going to Diamond was like I got crushed game 1. Game 2 Dream Trawler was, you know, a dream. And then the final game, they got stuck on like 2 lands, and I'm sitting there with a bunch of Banishing Lights and all sorts of other kinds of removal going, oh, look, nice creatures, dead.
I'm seeing a lot of the Doom Foretold decks coming back around.
Yeah, those have come back a little bit. And then the Teemer Adventure decks have, oh my God, those are so hard to play against.
They're a pain in the ass is what they are.
Oh, God, because it's always turn 1 Innkeeper, turn 2 Lucky Clover, and you're like, oh, God, here we go.
And that's just it. I feel like that means that at turn 4, I have to play Summon the Sky or whatever the hell it is.
Shatter the Sky, yeah.
Shatter the Sky. Like, I feel like at turn 4, I have to play that. And it's like, I'm not getting any value for it. I'm just taking out a couple of the Innkeepers and maybe a Rider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
you're still screwed because they're like they'll granted for Chandra and a Sorceress Spyglass, shut off your Teferi, cast Chandra, and you're done.
Yeah, like the Shandi, I've been able to deal with Chandra.
Well, yeah,
almost
I mean,
every time
Elspeth Conquers Death still kills her.
Right,
but
and I mean I've got Disenchant and I keep the red spell that kills the Planeswalkers or the white spell that kills the red and black Planeswalkers. I almost always sideboard that in
Devout Decree.
But,
yeah.
But overall, I mean, yeah, I got up to gold 1, and then I fell to gold 3 because mana screw. Like, I was like, really? Do you just have enough plat? You're just like, screw you. You can't go to plat. You dirty, dirty casual.
Well, you know what hurts is that, you know, they just reset the season, and it dropped me from...
Now I'm at silver.
Yeah, it dropped me from diamond 2 all the way down to gold 2. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So I have
I have to get back into play. And
yeah.
It's nice in some regards. I mean, with Wendy being sick, I got to play a lot more than I normally do because, I mean, I've had to pretty much be home. Like, I was home this weekend, the whole weekend. And, you know, I mean, we basically sat here in the studio, like, because I set her up over here, like, my hand is over here with, you know, her laptop. It's my laptop, but it's her laptop. Put a couple of monitors on it so she can watch TV and be on RuneScape until her heart's content. And then I'll sit here and play Magic or then play Call of Duty because I got on the PC. And so I sit here and like, you know, and I run back and forth. That's all I did Saturday and Sunday, you know, and then we put fluids in her because we had to do IV stuff. And that's remarkably not fun.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm excited in some regards because you have a big event this weekend and I may be a part of it now. I was going to go out of town, but with Wendy's health, we're not. And so she's kind of like, if you want to go and do that thing, but why don't you tell them what you got going on this weekend?
Yes. So we've been in conversation with Kerwin's Game Store. There is an event going on this Saturday. It is the Star City Games Regional Championship.
Woo-hoo!
It is going to be a modern event. Big cash prizes, invitations to the Star City Invitational. I will be there broadcasting the event. I believe the tournament starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, Eastern Time. So if you want to mosey on over to Kerwin's Twitch channel at that time, you'll see my ugly mug. And I will be giving you guys the play-by-play of the modern tournament.
And I'm very excited. I think hopefully they haven't filled the second chair yet. If they have, then obviously I'm cool. Like I said, I was supposed to go out of town. I was like, Aramis is much better at modern anyway. I will definitely provide color. I'll say like, wow. Look at the shirt he's wearing. Isn't that nice?
It's green. There's my color
It's green. I'll be like, all he has to do is play a Dig Through Time. Dig Through Time is banned. Okay, so Treasure Cruise. Treasure Cruise is banned. He has to play a card.
Yeah, is that Oko?
That's what he has to do.
That's
also banned. I would literally be the best host ever. It would be like putting John Madden after he's gone on a bender. So... if they let me have a light pen, that would be cool. Like, I could be drawing on the screen. Right here, this is where he went in. And
you see, he's got his token creature over here, and he goes over here, boom. Yeah, he goes over here and attacks this token creature.
And he goes, boom. I'd be great at that.
That would be terrifying.
I would wear a yellow blazer on purpose.
Oh, my God.
I would
God.
Be like, I have a yellow blazer, too. Like, I have a, like, Century 21 1970s, like almost velvet, like, yellow blazer. I would wear that
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't let you in the building.
I'd be awesome at this.
Security would be called instantly. Like, yeah, no, this guy, no, he's not coming in.
I wonder if they'll let me do the interviews if I dress in scantily, like, in scantily clad dresses, you know? Like, I'll just wear, you know, like, something with, you know, like, shows off my upper thighs and maybe, you know, some pumps.
Good night, everybody.
Family show.
Not anymore.
Well, after last week, I mean, Wendy heard it when we made the joke last week when something about, like, what do you want to see in arena? And I said naked women. And then you were like, family show. I said, well, okay, pregnant naked women. And Wendy's like, oh, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
And I brought it back around because it's the retrospective. So let's go over. And on that note, since, you know, we want to do a retrospective here, let's get ourselves right into the main.
Main phase.
Okay, so it is episode 50, and we don't spend a lot of time tooting our own horns here. But you know what? It's our 50th episode, and there are a lot of podcasts out there that don't do this, you know, that don't get this far. They give it a shot, they give it a whirl, and, you know, we've been very lucky, blessed to be able to do this now for well over a year.
And stubborn. Don't forget stubborn.
And stubborn. Stubborn's good. But, I mean, to hit episode 50, and believe me, we have more in store. Episode 52, you've heard us refer to the 52-to-1 story. Well, that's going to come in episode 52. So in 2 short weeks, I get embarrassed.
Oh,
and
yes.
Let's face it, I'm good at embarrassment. So I'm okay with this. But you're not going to want to miss that. But, you know, we started this back in January of last year.
Yeah.
So January of 19. What happened was Aramis and I were working together for about 2.5 years. And he got another gig. Basically, he got a better gig. And we were like I was pretty torn up about it. I was like, I'm losing my buddy. And, you know, I live in the capital region now, but I'm a Western New Yorker. And I ain't got many friends out here because y'all are weird in the capital region. I ain't gonna lie, man. I miss home.
Don't forget, but I'm a Western New Yorker too, so
I think that's why we get along, man. Like, because we both can sit there and go, we ain't had a good chicken wing in a very long time.
I'm more of a beef on Weck.
Really? Interesting. But in any event, so we were sitting there and we were at a holiday party, and it was his last day, and I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind doing a podcast about magic. I'm like, I just closed up another podcast I was doing, the Super Geek Week, I called it, Week in Geek with Will and Tim. And I mean, it had like 7 listeners. Like, I mean, I was like, this is just a waste of time. And we shuttered it for a year. But I was really into like coming up with a show. And we were sitting there and we're talking about standard. And I'm like, man, I just, you know, I drive to work every day and I'm looking for podcasts to listen to because I'm in the car for an hour. And I thought I'd find a magic one. And I'm like, nobody's talking standard. And he's like, we could talk standard. And I'm like, you know, light bulb goes off in my head. And I'm like, we could. He's like, you know, and it's like, he's like, you think so? And I'm like, we could, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's like, well, what would we need? I'm like, well, I'm already paying for the Be Live system because I was doing it for Legends TV Talk, which I mean, again, my other podcast that I do still do. So I'm like, I have all my equipment. I'm like, do you have a mic? He's like, well, yeah, I think I got a mic somewhere. We regretted that one. Then he's like, I'm like, what about a camera? Because, I mean, with Be Live, we could see each other and it kind of adds something to it. And he's like, I think I can go get one. I'll go find one. I think I have one on my laptop or something. And it was pretty low quality, but we made it work. And then we did a couple episodes. Our first couple were just audio only. And the first one was episode zero was interesting. And I got to find it. Maybe I will put it up. I'll put it up in the Patreon feed if I can find it. Because it's a gem.
If you do put that up, I would give a good warning to our listeners.
Oh, I will.
It is the audio quality is it's hard scale to listen of 1 to 10. It's about a -3. I mean, it's bad.
Aramis had a mic. Like, I had the mic he has now, my old Yeti. We're both running, if in case anybody wonders, we're running Blue Yetis, just USB mics. But he was running like an old school headset that was using like standard plug-in ports, not even USB. And it had a click or something, wasn't it? Or like it would just pop.
Yeah, there was like a loose connection in the microphone or something. And it would just
be like
tap, 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 tap. I was like, oh my God.
And it was just, it was a proof of concept episode. We sat there, we were talking, the new Ravnica Legion spoilers had just come out.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, we were going through those, and it was just, I'm just sitting there, and I'd be like,
It sounded like somebody was eating a bowl of Rice Krispies next to us.
It really did. And it was horrible. But I mean, and Aramis hadn't done this before. And so our first couple episodes, and even episode one, you can hear it where he's kind of like subdued. And it was like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay. Like, we were talking off the air, and I'm like, now, you know, I love you. You and I are friends, but I've been doing radio. I did radio for 8 years before I ever started podcasting. So I'm like, okay, you're what you're saying is great, but I think are you nervous? He's like, yeah, I've never done this. I'm like, yeah, don't, you know, just enunciate, be, you know, raise your voice, lower your voice, like be, I forget what the word I used was, but like, you know, it wasn't diverse, but it was something like that. Like,
well,
you,
I mean,
to, you know, you, full, you hadn't done it yet.
Well, full disclosure, I hate public speaking.
I'm and yet terrified. You're really good at this.
Yeah, I'm terrified at public speaking. And the craziest thing is, and this is going to be a throwback even further, and it's going to be a shout out to my wife. I, for the longest time, super shy, super awkward, super anxious about talking to people in general. I don't like doing it. I still really don't. But
and yet we do it here every week.
Well, not even that. When I met my wife, we've been together now for 13 years. She really brought me out of my shell to the point where when I graduated from college in 2015, I was actually the commencement speaker for my graduating class.
No kidding.
I had to give a speech in front of like 500 or 600 people. And it was the most terrifying and most rewarding thing I'd ever done in my life. I was physically ill the entire day.
You're kidding me.
I was so nervous.
I'm like that a little bit, but I went to school for theater.
But so I did it, like... and it was fantastic, and I would probably do it again. I'd probably be sick again. But you know what? It's all her. She takes all the credit for that. I would not be here talking to you guys today if it wasn't for her giving me the confidence to be able to do it. So that's all on Pam.
Oh, Pam's amazing. I'm sorry. Shout out to Pam. She's my hero. I bust her stones as much as anybody, but you know.
Yeah, only because you know that job. She's all the way in broad. You're in broad. You're where you are. We're where we are, and she can't get to you to rip your throat out.
Oh, she will at some point. I'm sure. At some point, we're going to have you guys over.
You ever seen that Walking Dead episode when Rick does that to that drifter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I read it in the comics. It was just as good.
Yeah.
But I just, I was like, okay, and that's just it. Your first couple episodes, and then, like, episode three, like, you took, like, that criticism. I said, like, be more dynamic. That was what I was looking for. And you came on like gangbusters. And to the point now where I would consider you a professional broadcaster, man. You have the chops, you know? And... It's amazing to me to see how this show has grown. I mean, we've had some fun moments. War of the Spark was a great time for us, but we beat Nexus of Fate to death.
Yes, we did.
I mean, that was where this came from. Well, that's the Oko horse.
That was the Oko horse. We didn't have the horse until Oko. We were pounding on Nexus of Fate and then Wilderness Reclamation. And then we've both kind of missed the boat on Oko until after we realized how stupid it was. And after we just never stopped.
Well, Wilderness Wreck, we both were like, that's going to be the best card. That's going to break standard. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. I think that's when we came up with the tagline we use for the show, which is buy casuals for casuals. We're like, we know absolutely shit. Well, you guys listening to us for any expert advice, I love you. Thank you for listening, but that ain't us.
Well, I mean, and we did say that, I think, in the first couple episodes, saying, listen, neither one of us are pros, and like I'm the only one that even has like the remote aspirations of even trying to qualify for a Players Tour.
Yeah, I couldn't ever think about that. Like, I just... dude, four... What was it? Four rounds of Esper...
Four rounds of Azorius Control at FNM, and you were wiped out.
I needed a nap. I wanted to be held. Okay.
Think about that. I went to the SCG Open in Syracuse. I played 8 rounds of Esper Control.
Yeah. So, I mean, for... And wow, we've lost 6 listeners. They don't like us talking about ourselves.
Well, sorry.
Sorry about that. It's our 50th show. You'll deal with it.
We get to gush a little bit. We get to gush.
Yeah. You know what? It is a moment, and it's a really good moment. I'm excited for where we're going. You know, the Patreon being what it is, and I don't mean to, I hope to God I'm not harping on that too much. If I am, guys, please send us emails. Be like, shut the hell up about it. I don't mean to. I'm just really – it still amazes me that anyone would want to – come alongside this and help us out, because I mean, for me, this is, you know, this is something we do. Yeah,
this is passion. This is just us loving the game, and the fact that you guys are willing to give up extra money that you might have lying around to help us out is just, it blows our mind. It's more than we ever could have asked. It's like nobody requires
getting
you
asked to do Saturday. You know, can you two come down and, you know, be our commentary guys? Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing to me. I've loved it broadcasting. Again, I started like 8 years before I ever thought about this. Like, it started in like 2004 for me. Like, I loved being on the radio. I went and did the radio every week for like 5 years. It was for free, you know, but I love doing this. I love doing broadcasting. And, you know, to be able to do this and have anyone, you know, want to listen to it and enjoy it and feedback and give us feedback is amazing to me. I still can't imagine how this happened. You know, well, I mean, we sat at dinner that night, but I can't thank you guys enough. The whole reason we've made it 50 episodes is you guys.
Yes.
It's you listeners. It's coming alongside, giving us advice. There was somebody who put in an iTunes review, which we will draw later in the show. Somebody put in an iTunes review that said, hey, your Oko beating a dead horse is too loud. That's great feedback. Like, thank you, you know? It's the fact that you care enough to tell us that stuff is still incredible to me. And don't get me wrong, I'm a fan. I listen to podcasts and I do interact with the shows. I'm a patron of Superpod HeroCast and Flash TV Talk, you know, because I love those shows. I get it from the listener's perspective, but then to be on the other side is amazing to me. So thank you, not just to our patrons, but thank you to our listeners who have been here since day one, who take time and write to us every week. Jamie is one of our biggest writers. Walter is, like, he's in the chat right now, and he's you know, he's lighting it up. You know, Chris and everybody else who's come alongside us, thank you, really. Just, you know, and we're in 50 episodes, and I'm not stopping anytime soon. I don't think Aramis is. You know, so we're going to be around for 50 more. And like I said, in 2 weeks, it's my embarrassment episode. And we assumed that 52 would be right around the 1 year mark. Now, of course, when I got married and stuff, we lost about 10 weeks this year. So plan on us having about 40 shows a year, but that's a lot of shows. And I'm excited to do it. So
yeah, we wouldn't be here if people weren't listening and they weren't tuning in and writing reviews and subscribing and doing whatever they need to do to keep us going.
Our wives wouldn't let us, dude. That's the end of the day. Let's get right down to it. My wife would, nope. She'd be like, oh, that's nice. You're doing a podcast. That's great. That's great. Do we have food in the house? Can you go shopping? So, you know, let's see here. Walter gets on the screen and he's like, thank you guys. And learning and talking about what's going on. Walter, thank you, man. You know, yeah, you're just getting back into it. That's what this show is for. You know what? Maybe you'll graduate to, you know, Jerry Thompson's show. We are not arena decklists. We're not even close. You know, we're not even the MTG Goldfish podcast, which is another great cast I listen to. And Saffron Olive's awesome. Always fun to listen to, you know. But, you know, so if you're looking for other casts out there, there are plenty. But the fact that you guys are alongside, and we're always going to stay to standard, you know, because that's what we know. And again, it's a hole we're trying to fill.
Yeah, like we're really for the newer players, the casual players, the FNM players, the ones who are like, okay, you know, maybe I go to a GP for the side events every now and again, once a year or something like that. Or hell, there's a PTQ. Maybe I'll just try it just to see what it's like. We're not here for the grinders.
Oh, we will be here for the grinders.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's not our primary.
You're probably
audience.
Just going to get annoyed at us and think we don't know what we're talking about. And guess what?
Scrubs.
You're right.
Yeah. We have an idea, but we're not like we're not on the cutting edge of the tech. We're gonna be talking about some of the things that other people might talk about, but from a different angle.
Right. Well, I mean, we're the, you know what? Picture us as like we're the guys you talk to at work who occasionally play Magic around the water cooler between doing other things. You know, we're like, yeah, man, I've been playing Azorius Control. It's the best deck out there. Really? Because I heard Mono Red crushes it. Possibly. But I still play it. Screw you. I'm going over here.
You want to fight about it?
So, I mean, again, so 50 episodes in. Thank you guys so much. I think we've blown our own horn enough tonight, and we'll leave that right where it lies.
Be that way.
Well, I mean, if we talk about us all night, you know, how is that different from any other show? But... yeah. But I do want to pivot from us and our show, and again, thank you, we got an announcement today on our Twitter. Thank God you told me because I missed it. Because again, my Twitter, I use it to follow, you know, trying to get those bikini pictures of Betty White. So that's really the only reason I have my Twitter. So the fact that Arena posted a tweet today about the BNR next week, I mean, it got us thinking. You and me both. We had a little chat discussion. In case you didn't know, MTG underscore arena, was that who did it, or is it just MTG?
I think it was from the mothership, the main Magic account. They sent out a tweet announcing that next Monday, March 9th, there will be an announcement regarding the banned and restricted list. They didn't say if it was them banning cards or them unbanning cards and what formats it would involve. They just said, stay tuned, blah, blah, blah.
But now, since they're not on a regular schedule, what this means is something's changing next Monday.
Yeah,
they are no longer on the monthly schedule, so it's not like we're going to get a BNR that says no changes. If they're sending out an email saying next week we have a BNR,
something
there's
changing.
A BNR.
Yeah,
most people, myself included, feel that this is going to they're going to nerf some Pioneer stuff, whether it's Dig Through Time, whether it's God, what the hell's the name of that deck?
Oh, the Inverter Truth.
Well, yeah, whether they're going to hit Inverter, whether they're going to hit Dig Through Time or Lotus Lotus Breach, something like that. The Lotus Breach and Inverter are the two big decks right now. So, and they're crushing, as I understand it, the meta.
Yes, they are crushing it. The biggest speculation that I've heard, the biggest targets seem to be Dig Through Time.
Inverter of Truth has to be on that
Inverter
list.
Of Truth, yeah, they might nuke that from space. Possibly going after Thoughtseize. Or
Come
even going
on.
To... This is just people
I know, but it's like, these are the they're going to do Thoughtseize, though. That's the most expensive card in Pioneer right now.
Well, I mean, people also have been pivoting a little bit to Modern, saying that Once Upon a Time needs to go. I was surprised that it was still legal in Modern. I forgot that it was still legal.
It is. I think Once Upon a Time is almost assured. I don't think they'll do Dig Through Time yet. I think they like the fact that Dig Through Time is legal, and Pioneer's the only place it is legal. It's illegal in Standard. Well, it's not part of Standard, but as I understand it, Dig Through Time is like illegal in Commander, Modern. Like, I think it's restricted in Legacy and Vintage. I mean, there's nowhere Dig Through Time is legal right now. Or is that Treasure Cruise? It's Treasure Cruise, sorry.
I think it's Treasure Cruise. I don't remember if Treasure Cruise is legal in Pioneer.
Treasure Cruise is banned in almost everything.
Yeah, well, Treasure Cruise is a stupid card.
It is. I mean, so some people are like, are they going to hit Treasure Cruise yet? I don't think there's any need to hit Treasure Cruise yet. I don't think there's anything. Sure. I think you nail Inverter, you nail something on Lotus Breach, whether it's Underworld Breach or you just nail the Lotus, Gardener or whatever it's called.
The Lotus Veil?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Treasure Cruise is legal in Pioneer, okay.
Yeah, Treasure Cruise is legal only in Pioneer.
And Commander.
Is it legal in Commander?
Legal in Commander and restricted in Vintage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's pretty much nobody gets to play that ever. So I could see them keeping some of that stuff alive. But yeah, I think they got to hit Inverter and they got to do something with Breach. Maybe they'll just kill Underworld Breach.
Well, I mean, if they hit Dig Through Time, that hurts Inverter... And
hurts, Underworld Breach.
It hurts Zoria's control as well. But there's the hard thing is that the Dimir Inverter deck is very resilient against hand disruption. It's very resilient against counter magic. It's resilient against removal because you only ever need to resolve the Inverter. You don't care what happens to it. And then you only ever need to resolve the Thassa's Oracle. You don't care what happens to it.
They could hit Thassa's Oracle.
I would be a little surprised if they hit Thassa's Oracle because that card by itself is, yes, it's the card that wins the game, but...
Yeah, I think they learned their lesson with the thing they did last year after Modern Horizons where they went after, like, every card but the card that made the deck work there.
Hogak?
Yeah. I think they learned from the Hogak debacle. Like, they're gonna start being a little more surgical now as opposed to, like... Well, let's just cut around it. No. Let's actually cut the cancer.
if they do that, all that would do is it would make the new the Jace Wielder of Mysteries would be the main kill card in the Inverter deck.
True. You know, I think they're going to take Inverter. They got to take Inverter out.
But if they ban Inverter, that makes Leveler even better.
Yeah, but I don't know that. I think what will happen is
Leveler's not legal in Pioneer. So.
Yeah. So I think what they're going to do. They may even do Inverter in Modern, because hasn't Inverter started, like, didn't make this
big
people...
It's starting to pop up.
Huh?
Inverter's starting to pop up in Modern.
People wait a second.
Yeah. Inverter's starting to make an appearance in Modern. But I think Modern has enough tools to deal with it.
Well, Modern doesn't have Dig Through Time, right? And that's really what makes Inverter go stupid.
That's
so
one
you
of
might
the
be right about Dig Through Time. Huh?
Yeah. Inverter is one of the things that makes... Dig Through Time, yeah, is banned in Modern.
That's what I mean. So it might be why Inverter never showed up. They could just be like, we're going to nail Dig Through Time and see if Inverter survives. I think Inverter can survive. I don't think it's as big as the little red spell that killed Is It Phoenix, the one drop.
Faithless Looting?
Yeah. I mean, that just made Is It Phoenix just broke. It's dead. Thanks for playing. Welcome to being not alive anymore. And I know, guys, we talk Standard, but I mean, this obviously for the BNR for next week for Standard, I can't see anything getting nailed. I mean,
nothing.
If they were,
nothing. I don't see anything getting banned in Standard.
The only thing that I would think they'd even consider is maybe Nissa, because she's in so many decks. But she's not even in the top three decks anymore.
Yeah, she's. You know, I mean, she's one of the. She's still one of those cards where it's I resolve, you deal with me within the next turn or two, or you lose.
Right. If which is the same as a Hydroid Creatius or Uro or any number of other. Yeah. You know.
I would see, honestly, I would see them if they were going to ban a card in Standard. I mean,
Teferi.
Teferi.
I'm just kidding.
It's the only thing I could think of. But even then, it's like people are it. It's not. I don't think it's that oppressive. It's a powerful
card. It's not.
Card. It's,
honestly,
it's annoying.
I sideboard Teferi out in the mirror. Not in the mirror, sorry. But I have sideboarded Teferi out if I'm playing like hyper aggressive decks. I'm like, what do I care? If I'm playing like the sacrifice deck, there's not much reason for you to have instants. So I'll sideboard Teferi out for some of the hate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I might keep two in, but that's so that I can, you know, bounce something.
Well, but the funny thing is too is that for a while, and it's odd how it changed so suddenly, but for the longest time while, you know, Teferi 3 has been legal, there hasn't been a straight up counterspell based control deck, and now all of a sudden it's back.
Yeah.
And it's like most of these cards were already here, so what changed all of a sudden to allow Azorius to come back with straight, you know,
it's Elspeth and Dream Trawler.
Elspeth, those two cards really gave them the weapons that they needed. But it's funny how it works out like that, where people weren't playing counterspells for the longest time because they were scared of Teferi. Mm-hmm. And then it disappeared from the meta for a while. It was still sort of in certain decks, but not like top tier. And now it's back, but so are the counterspells.
Yep. Well, they have to be. I mean, and this will go into what we're talking about in combat. But, you know, the Azorius control deck... And people are breaking the code. It's no longer top on MTG Goldfish. Mono Red is. And I think Teamer Wreck is going to come. I think it might go down to third.
Well, Teamer Adventures is number three right
that's
now.
That's what I mean, Teamer Adventures.
Yeah.
I definitely can see, you know, Mono Red is oppressive in some regards. That Embercleave combo is ridiculous. But what's nice is that Teferi shuts it off.
Teferi shuts it off.
And that's where, you know, I sit there and go, okay. Like, when I said I sideboard Teferi out against hyper-aggressive decks, I did not mean mono red.
Well, the thing is, though...
In effect, I'd like to have five for that.
You do have to keep in mind which mono red deck you're playing against. There are two versions of the deck. There is one that plays Embercleave, and there's one that doesn't.
Right. The one that doesn't is pretty much the Cavalcade deck, right?
That's the Cavalcade version, or it plays Infuriate instead.
I was playing a deck that did both for a while, and then I saw that it changed in the past couple of weeks. There were like three different variations. There was the one that did the rogues, mm-hmm. Then there was the one that did the knights.
Oh my god, I hate Robber of the Rich so much.
Robber of the Rich and the Artful Dodger there, the Hazard Dodger, mm-hmm. And then you did the Rimrock Knight and the, you know, going off of the Famished Paladin or whatever. Not that. What the hell is his name?
Fervent Champion.
Yeah, Fervent Champion. So, I'm so good at Standard. the end of the day, though, what I've seen now, and they had that, and then they had Embercleave, and then the one drop that kind of bumps you up. You just said it, and I forgot it already.
Fervent Champion?
Yeah. No, the other one. The one that increases your...
Oh, Infuriate.
Infuriate. Now, Infuriate's not really a part of it. And they've put in, and they took out the shocks, and now they're running all of the creatures in Embercleave, and that's it. And I'm like,
the only spell in these decks is typically Light Up the Stage.
And Light Up the Stage. I'm like, wow. And I've been playing against it, and I'm like, oh, okay then.
They're all in on the creature strategy.
Yeah, like they took the Infuriates out and shocks, and it's just, and again, you have to, I think you got to have Infuriate in the sideboard for the Teferi matchup but even still, you can get Embercleave out, you just can't flash it in. But yeah. It's,
you know, there's Fry that can handle that too.
Fry does handle it well.
Or Unchained Berserker. They can't bounce it with Teferi, they can't Banishing Light it, and it swings for three, so yeah. That takes care of Teferi pretty quickly.
It's a very interesting they can board wipe though, right?
They can board wipe it, but I mean, if you're hoping if you're the red player at that point, you're hoping to have an annex on the board so that they need to have two in order to take care of it.
Right. So it's definitely an interesting it's an interesting meta right now. The BNR though, I don't think is going to touch Standard. I think this is going to be a Pioneer Modern heavy event.
Standard got healthy real quick.
Well, and I could see what the, after seeing, you know, Theros, they're right. Had they not gotten rid of Oko, there's nothing that could have done that could have dealt with Oko in this set.
Simic would be everywhere right now. It would be the affinity all over again.
I have to say, banning Oko was the right call. So that's hard for me to say, though. But so next week will be the BNR. But other than that, I mean, are we ready to go to combat? We've got an email and we could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've been kind of talking about it already, so let's go.
All right, we're at combat phase. And tonight, our combat is kind of inspired by, like I said, our listener, Jamie. He emailed us this morning. I always send out a little thing on Facebook. And I love how we get an email on Monday. People are like, oh my God, I forgot to email the show. But he sent in a question. He said, good evening, gentlemen. I love that he calls us gentlemen. Just a quick question for you both that hopefully spans into a discussion. Yes, we are also hoping it spans into a discussion. When talking about control, what do you think of and what is too much control? And then he goes on to say that he despises counter magic as he's a firm believer in playing magic. However, he has a mono black sacrificing commander deck, which runs Dictate of Erebus, Grave Pact, and locks out playing creatures. Yeah, but you hate control. Jerk. And he's like, in modern, he's currently playing and building Lantern Control, which is interesting. I haven't heard of this deck. For those that don't know, you use Thoughtseize effects to strip away anything relevant from your opponent's hand while dropping Lantern of Insight, which makes players play with the top card of their library revealed. Your win con is the Mill Rocks, which makes your opponent unable to draw anything relevant. I hope this turns into a deeper look into control and helps your community grasp a better understanding of control and its many variants. Regards, Jamie. All right. So, Aramis, you're the dirty, rotten, filthy, gosh darn control player that just lives to do this. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you think about this email?
First of all, guilty as charged.
Yeah, you just love it. You embrace it.
I do.
You're like a master of the dark arts. Dick.
If I'm having fun, I don't care if you are.
Which is what makes you a great podcast host.
Wow. Ouch. Hurts me on the inside. So I think that control, I mean, not liking counterspells, it's part of the game. It's been there since the beginning. Thank goodness, if you don't like counterspells, that original counterspell isn't legal in standard.
Right.
Because that was 2 mana, counter your spell, no questions asked, no special riders, no stupid little drawbacks.
Well, it also said the word interrupt.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I miss interrupts. Like, good old interrupts. So counter magic has been and always will be part of the game because it's just... Everything that he was describing is basically a version of counter magic.
Yeah.
Killing all your creatures on the board, yes, those creatures have resolved, and maybe if they had ETB abilities, their abilities might have been played, but they're still not affecting the board because you've killed them all. So it's sort of like a delayed version of counter magic.
Well, no, it's not. It's definitely more interactive. I look at it a little differently.
Counter magic's very interactive. Can I play this? No, you cannot. That was great interaction.
What I mean by that is that, yeah, the ETB abilities matter and things like that. Yeah, there are like 2 variations of control. There are the counter decks, and then there's more of the...
It's like tap out control.
Yeah. Like Esper control was like that. Esper Hero was definitely like that. It was far more jail. It was the Doom Foretold decks were nothing but jail decks. They, you know, they kept you from doing pretty much anything you wanted to do ever again.
Prison decks, I think, are more oppressive than traditional counterspell based.
Prison decks piss me off, like to a level of like I've never gotten salty with you when playing, and I've lost you a lot. But that night, you and I were sitting there, and you were playing that damn Doom Foretold deck. I was sitting there going, God,
yeah, because it's. I think that feels like less playing magic because it gives you the hope that you're at least trying to play, and then it takes it away from you.
Yeah, and that was part of it.
I get to play these. I'm playing all these creatures. Look at they're dead. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll play these artifacts. Oh, they're dead too. Okay, well, how about if I do? No, I can't do that either.
Nah, thanks for playing. Yeah, and it does. It's far more oppressive. I mean, I'm playing Azorius Control right now, and I'm having some success with it. Would I play that at the next Friday Night Magic I go to? Probably not.
Feels good, though, doesn't it?
It did and it didn't. Like, you know, we talked about this last week. I mean, you know, the time I was playing that mono red deck and the kid was getting salty, I felt kind of bad. You know, I mean, I don't want to make it unenjoyable for anybody.
Hmm.
But be that as it may, you know, I do play it. And if I'm playing control, I like counter magic. I love countering spells. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I feel like Teferi is designed for us to, those of us who like to counter spells, because it basically says, I get to counter anything I want, but you don't.
Right.
You know, but, you know, on the other side of that, if you're playing a counter spell deck and you don't have Teferi in it, you're an idiot. Like, anyone who's playing a counter spell deck will have Teferi in it.
Yeah. Well, there was a time where, very recently, where the Simic Flash deck was very heavy on counter spells. They couldn't play Teferi.
You're right, because I still have my Simic Flash deck, and yeah. I do like to play it every once in a while.
And that deck is very good against certain strategies, but if your opponent drops a Teferi, wow, are you screwed.
Your day's over. Your game's done. Thank you for playing. It was fun, and may God have mercy on your soul. You know, at that point, I even toyed around with building a Sultai Flash deck to put in Unmoored Ego. And, you know, that sort of thing to try to get rid of Teferi. Like, if I can do that, then I can play everything I want. But,
and the funny thing is that the control decks that have Teferi in them don't always necessarily need Teferi to win the game. It's just like, oh, you're exiling that? Okay, well, it changes my strategy a little bit, but I'm still going to counter everything else.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I like to play a little bit of control every once in a while. But, I mean, I'm a mid-range slash combo guy. Like, I like churning my cards. I like making, you know, like, I still want to find a way to make the Steals Your Stuff deck work. Because it's just a great idea. Like, oh, wait, let me put Thassa on the board, an Agent of Treachery, and now all your stuffs are mine. Thank you. You know, is that control? Kinda. But it's actually more combo.
I think heavy control decks are good for any format that they're in. I think they're important to the health of any format.
I agree.
Because it forces you... They're not unbeatable decks. They certainly are not unbeatable decks because obviously, you know, variance happens and bad draws happen. But aggressive decks can have an advantage if they can get underneath the counter spells or if their sideboarding is good.
Right.
This actually sort of pivots into a different discussion that we can probably have at some point. I saw this on Twitter recently where some pros were debating whether they preferred open decklist tournaments or closed decklist tournaments.
Interesting.
Whereas if you're not familiar with the term, an open decklist tournament basically means that before the match starts, you get a piece of paper that has your opponent's decklist right there in front of you. You have a certain amount of time to study it, and then you have to put it away for the match.
Right.
You can look at it between games, but for that brief window,
yeah,
you can see at the very least what archetype your opponent's playing, what their cards are. And as a control player, I would like that because there's nothing worse, especially in Arena, where you draw an opening hand going, okay, this hand is pretty good, unless they're playing aggro. But you don't know that.
Right.
And then you play your first couple lands, you play like a Temple of Enlightenment, you pass a turn, and they go Mountain Fervent Champion, you're like, oh boy, I'm so dead.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm still an old school guy, I'm like, give me the closed deck, because I think there is some value to that of,
but I can understand that point too,
yeah,
because with closed deck lists, obviously you register your deck, you hand it into the judges, and you don't see anything of that ever again unless someone comes in for a random deck check and looks for marked sleeves. Can you hear?
Wow, let that go, man. It's been a while.
Don't mark your sleeves. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Bad call.
What that forces you to do is already have an idea of what the metagame looks like and what you're expect. It basically forces you to practice.
Yes.
It does give a little bit of an advantage to larger play groups.
Yep.
Because they can scout. And that's the thing that happens at tournaments. If you have like six or seven people together in a tournament, they'll be like, hey, if your match is done early, walk around the table, see what people are playing. If you see something interesting, let me know what it is so I know to look out for it.
Exactly. So, I mean, in answer to your question, Jamie, we both are I don't think that you can have too much control. I think the meta will dictate what type, how much control is too good. I mean, and control, think about it. There was a period there for a year where control just didn't register. During the Hazoret Red years, forget about it. You couldn't play control because he came under it, you know, and there was almost no way to stop it. Control was just getting beat down religiously. So,
well, especially the past year, there wasn't really a dedicated control deck for a while.
Right. So now it's nice to have it back. But, you know, with that, I mean, I'm going to sit there and say that combat, again, no winner, but it was a good conversation. Let's get into main two.
Main phase.
All right. So main phase two is usually where we like to talk about arena stuff that's coming. And a big announcement came out this past weekend, or it might have even been today. It was March 1st. That 25 new historic cards are going to be added to Arena Magic the Gathering. So, on March 12th, players of the Magic the Gathering will experience 25 new cards in historic. They are doing the whole, like, you can buy the whole set at once, or you can do wild cards. It'll be 2,000 or 4,000 gems or 25,000 gold.
No, thank you. I'll be spending wild cards.
Yeah, me too. Because I, you know what, I did it last time, and I find myself not using any of the historic cards. So,
I was going to say, to be fair, I have not played a single game of historic.
So, I mean, the biggest one obviously is Pack Rat.
That's a big one.
Everybody's excited about Pack Rat coming back. I mean, Pack Rat's power and toughness are each equal to the number of rats you control, and there's enough rats in historic to make that worthwhile.
And it wasn't even that made it so good, is because by itself.
Oh yeah,
it became ridiculous because you constantly discard cards to make copies of it, and it's a stupid card.
Yeah, Ancestral Mask is another one that I kind of dig in this enchantment heavy standard. Mm-hmm. She's gonna do well, you know. Ancestral Mask is everything you get plus the enchanted creature gets +2/+2 for each other enchantment on the battlefield. Yeah, there's a ton of good stuff in here. It's kind of exciting. I'm kind of glad they're doing a little bit more with historic. I mean, don't get me wrong. Again, we not to beat another, you know, dead horse here, but you know, we do want Pioneer in Arena. So
eventually, yes, please. I think these are good cards. Some of them are interesting.
They're
cards.
They're better than the last one. I'm gonna
say. I would say that, and the one thing that's, I don't know if it irks me or if it's just it's like, okay, we get that you like these, but it also comes linked up with yet another secret lair drop. So they're doing another secret lair with one of the cards that's being added to the historic group. It's Thalia, Guardian of Thraben.
Yep.
And this particular secret lair, you get four copies of it. There's four different artworks. And I guess in Arena, you can redeem it for a sleeve.
Yes.
And there's another secret lair on top of this happening around the same time for, I think it was like International Women's Month or something like that. And I'm like, can't people are still waiting for their Year of the Rat and their Theros God secret lairs to be shipped, and you're already making two more. Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, here's the thing, and I keep hearing through other podcasts and stuff, so I'm not going to cite anybody because none of it's legit yet. But a lot of people are speculating that it's possible that secret lairs are going to start. They're going to start moving secret lair to more of a loot crate style, where you would pay a monthly fee of $19-$20 a month and get a secret lair loot crate. So that's a possibility.
I might be interested in something like that, but I mean, up until this point, I haven't come across one of the secret lairs that really speaks to me.
Me either.
Which I'm glad that.
I think if they do a Teferi one with Core 2021, you'll buy that.
It depends on what it is. I mean, because I have a playset of Teferis already.
Yeah, but if they have special, like, okay, let's say that they put one in of the one that they put out last year. Special edition that came with War of the Spark or whatever, or
oh, like a stained glass,
not just a stained glass one. Remember the full art one they put out, of Teferi Hero of Dominaria.
oh, that one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would depend on what it is. I mean, something that I read somewhere is that someone is guessing, and wouldn't be a bad guess, is that this is where they're going to put the fetch lands.
I'd be into that.
Alternate art foil or full art foil, something like that. You know, make, you know, $50, you get five, and then another $50, you get the other five.
They wouldn't
go that cheap. I
personally
would rather have them reprinted in a standard set.
I think you're going to see them reprinted in a standard set. I think they're going to be in Zendikar. They have to be. We're losing the shocks.
Well, I mean, they didn't reprint them in the last time we read Zendikar.
Yeah, but we had different lands at that time.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're losing the shock lands means we're losing a very big dual land, you know, thing that makes decks run. I think they're going to have to put that back. You know, we've lost the check lands, we've lost, you know, the cycle lands and all that. So, but in any event, the, you know, arena's going okay. I did get my sleeves my card this weekend because I played the God Event again because it looked actually a little bit fun. The green stompy deck idea. And it was fun. It was all right. I had a little good time with it.
I'm going to do the next workshop. Yeah. That one looks like fun. You get the pre-built draft decks, and you get 500 experience or gold for playing. It's like, whatever, it's a free. That one's free.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll do this one.
So I also want to read, Walter sent in an email. So Walter, again, is our newest patron. So he said, thank you for reading my email on stream. I found you guys on a Magic Facebook group that someone shared your podcast on there and watched and really found it informative and helpful. Apparently, this guy hasn't watched a lot of other shows. I'm okay with that. The kind of player I am, I really have liked, is the aggro. Yes, red, but also white. White aggro's a thing. I'll give you that. White life gain aggro's a thing. It's annoying as hell, too, actually. Control is my first love because of when I first got into Magic. I did a tournament draft, and I had no idea what I was doing, so I just picked blue because from the guys I was trying to learn from, I just went with control. So, funny story, was my first match and was playing a guy who was also playing blue, and I had a couple of the mill cards and eventually won my first ever game because he had no cards left after all. Yeah, if you could do a mill strategy during a draft, yeah, good card. Good, you're good. You only got to get through 40.
Picking control, I'm very, very proud of him, very proud.
But I love the experience from it, but it takes a while to learn things like building your own deck and how MTGA is, that you don't get feedback at all, and yeah, I know you would get more salt and hate from people, but for the ones that would or could give you some feedback just the way that is now, they severely lack that. I don't disagree. So he's saying he wants feedback for the decks he's been building. So that's why people net deck, is because people like myself don't know what to look for. Totally agree.
Yeah, and it's not easy to find that either.
Yeah, and he says, I watch a lot of Twitch and YouTube and playing a lot of MTG to get me to try to learn. But I'm up. If Aramis could help me out, that would be awesome because I want to be a better player and do more drafts because at the moment, I'm intimidated by draft because I don't know what to look for or how to. Hey, listen, we're doing the Play a Patron cast. If you wanted to do a cast with Aramis that was all drafting, I'm sure he'd be down with it.
Absolutely.
So that could be the stream because you won that this month. So again, being a patron has its rewards. So I will sign up as a patron because of what you guys do is awesome for new players and just to talk about Magic. Sorry for the long email, but appreciate you guys. Thank you. Never apologize for long emails. We like them. So
yes.
Really, Walter, thank you for writing in. And he said he's down. He has a token. So
oh, there you go. And the best thing, too, is that we'd have to figure out the logistics of it if that's what we ended up doing. But the best thing about bot drafting on Arena is different than drafting against other people. But the one good thing about it right now is that you have unlimited time to make your picks.
Right.
In a typical draft with other players, you have like maybe 45 seconds when you begin the pack to make your pick. And by the time the last few cards roll around, you have like maybe 5 to 10 seconds to make a selection.
So what could probably happen is that, you know, if he could share his screen, we'd have to come up with this technologically. You could help him with his draft. You could have your draft deck already built. You know, mm-hmm. You could draft pre, and then you guys can just challenge each other.
I have a draft deck, actually, that I had already saved.
Right.
I save any deck that I draft that goes 6 wins or better.
So that's very possible. That would be probably how we do it. I mean, you guys can work it out, and I'll do whatever I can to enable the tech for this, because I'm obviously the engineer. But I think we can make that work. I mean, we could either do it here through BeLive or OB, you know, where he could share his screen or something. We would figure it out.
Yeah.
So there is that. Also, before we get going here, we're getting running out of time. I want to do our little monthly drawing. Every month we do draw a name out of our people that have left us an iTunes review. So I'm going to put that on the screen right now and share. So I've actually preloaded the website here, make it solo, with the people right now who have not won and who have put in iTunes reviews. So here they are. And I'm just going to put a three-step randomness process, and I'm going to have it pick a random name. The winner of this is going to win some free arena packs. To win these packs, all you got to do is go on to iTunes and leave us a review. Positive or negative, doesn't matter. Though if it's negative, please, you know, tell us why first. We prefer the positives because they help the show. So here it comes. It's picking a name. Did it pick the name? And the winner is Noli Poli.
Nice.
Noli Poli, you have won the pack. So congratulations, Noli Poli. Get a hold of me through email us at podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com, and I'll get back to you with how to get your prize. What I'll have you do is I'll have you, you know, to prove it to you, I'll have you change the review in some way, you know, and then get a hold of you and we'll get you your, you know, your pack codes. So again, Noli Poli, thank you for being a listener. Thank you for leaving us a review. We really appreciate it. It does help the show. So Noli Poli has been a winner. But with that, I think we are running low on time. So let's go ahead and get right into. Okay, so while we're picking up our cards, putting them back in the boxes, rolling up our play mats, and grabbing our pizza boxes, putting them by the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work here. Aramis and I both want to remind you that we stream Arena on the Planestalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planestalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73. We have been twitching a little more lately, so that's kind of cool. So
yeah, and
look us
that,
up there.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing that we're doing that more often, so that way we can get some games in.
Yes.
So we're going to be doing that again soon coming up here. You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. If Twitter is more your speed, though, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter. But I do want to mention one other thing real quick with Twitch.
Yeah.
Anytime that I stream, I also make sure that I simultaneously stream it on the Planestalkers Podcast channel. So if you subscribe to me or that channel, either one, whenever I'm online streaming, it'll show up there. So take a look at it there. RMECWRX at Twitch, Planestalkers Podcast channel on Twitch.
Right, and I almost always stream strictly on the Planestalkers Podcast. I don't even Twitch very much on Mindcrime anymore. So as long as I'm playing Magic, if I'm playing Call of Duty, then I'll, you know, do it the other way. But you guys can also reach me on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at WRBenson. But again, I don't tweet a lot. I tend to tweet only things, you know, like, you know, hey, anybody find those bikini photos of the late First Lady Barbara Bush? Because I'm all over that.
God.
And I'm not saying now. I'm saying in her prime, man. Now it would look horrible. Like, she'd look kind of dead. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, this got dark quick. I'm going to hell. But, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker and like and follow our page. That is where we actually record this show. If you're listening to the audio podcast, that's where we record this show every week, Monday nights at around 7 Eastern. This week we're a little late, but we'll always update if we're going to be late. But that's where you can go and watch us record it, interact with the show. If you hear us making comments about listeners saying things, that's where they're doing it. We'd love to see you. So it's facebook.com/planestalker.
And finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. You guys have been really good about sending the emails lately. Keep it up. It really helps us out with content and just being able to talk about different things. Also, you can email us if you have a suggestion for the show or a critique. You know, if you, maybe you're not ready to do an iTunes review for some reason, although you really should do an iTunes review. It really helps us out. But anyway, if you want to send us an email, our email address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Okay, and I want to remind you, I do host another podcast. It's actually on the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. You can find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk or wherever you get podcasts. Just look it up. But I also want to remind you about the iTunes review. We will start our new one this month. At the end of the month, we will do another drawing there the first week in April. Where we will draw another name, give you some free arena packs. So again, leave us a review there. Any number will do. But again, the 5 stars really, really do help the show out. So I want to encourage you to do that. But as we sit here now, for Aramis Perez, I want to remind you guys to, and say thank you so much for being with us on our 50th show. We're very excited to be here. We hope to be here for 50 more. But we'll be backing out now. We'll be back next week. Monday night, doing another show. Both Aramis and I will probably also be doing the Kerwin's Game Store SCG Regional this weekend. And if not, Aramis definitely will be. You don't want to miss it. Just look up Kerwin's Game Store on Twitch. Follow it there. It's going to be a lot of fun. But again, for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for being a listener to these last 50 episodes. And remind you to always leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good day.